is Willie and Nick. They're both on it. This is Channel 2 Right. Channel 2 Right, and I'm setting this up for Frankie and his mama this Sunday afternoon, the 18th of April, 1971. Now, this is Channel 2 Right. I'm setting it up for Frankie and Miss Chitty this Sunday afternoon, the 18th of April, 1971. Channel 2 Right. Channel 2 Right. And I'm setting it up for Frankie and his mama this Sunday afternoon, the 18th of April, 1971. Channel 2 Right. I'm setting up for Frankie and Miss Chitty this Sunday afternoon, the 18th of April, 1971.
I think it's more comfortable back here. We're all going to get back here in a minute. I was just talking to your mother. I just didn't know when she's ever going to get over here.
Yes, I must say you got your pea shooter loaded.
Yeah. You know what? We need it, too. We sure need it.
See, you ain't got a switch here. Where you switch?
Yeah, I kept keeping in line.
We're just catching breath here, man.
Yeah,
you
are.
I'll go down there and get that cat for a minute. That calf you got over there, 2 months old. Why, if you can raise calves like that, you are.
Yeah, but I'm like, you know, you're taking stuff out of your pocket. I wished I had back what I owe Seminole for this year's doings, what I've already paid on the feed bill and all. Of course, like I told Miss Miles, the calf said it gets all nights and mornings milk. I just milk once. That's nice. I don't milk one time a day.
And the calf milks in the morning?
Yes, he gets all the morning milk. I got arthritis in my fingers. I noticed this in here. It wants to stiffen up on me when I'm squeezing. I got a doggone thorn in there, you know. About Mr. Derry. And I don't know where I got it out.
Yeah.
And it kind of fessed up on me. I put a Band-Aid on it. And when I was mashing it, I noticed it started getting cramped.
Yeah.
It just stayed right like that. And when I opened it up, and this one, yeah, it's got arthritis. It gets like a shim. Tries to climb up on that oven, and when it pops, it'll come back down.
Oh, really?
And I always see, I used to milk in two hands. Put the bucket right between my legs, and man, I could milk in a few minutes, I'd be gone. That brother next to me, the one that's in Gainesville, he used to go up back the road and stand and watch calf for him, see? Keep calf from sucking while he milked.
Martin?
Yes. And that dad burned bugger, I was all the time telling him about milking. He says, I'll let you have it. And I made him mad. That devil in him one evening, and he just taken the cast hit and like that right up in my face. Man, I could have kicked him through the cast. So I said, well, you going to have to get somebody else to mind the calf. You might as well ask. Tell Dad to let Mona come in mine cap. I don't mess with you. You gonna do me like that? No, sir. I'm just fixing to turn the cow loose to you. You done made me mad, and I said you can have a cow. So I take no, and I've been milking ever since then. I used to milk. I had two cows there. They wasn't, you know, what this cow here is. I mean, it wasn't a breaded up milk cow. It's just a old timey milk cow. I had Jerry's and all, but that's one cow that I ain't got a cotton picking bit of use for. It's a Jersey cow. Margaret's husband had one. And every time I look at the tail end of that thing, and everybody tells me, well, I've heard several people say that Jersey milk was really better milk than a Holstein Guernsey, like that. But I don't know that. When you have a calf off of a Jersey, he's small tail. And you don't get nothing out of him when you put him on the market because people look at him, you know.
Yeah.
Of course, you might would now because price has been good on cows the past 2 years.
Yeah, you get a good price for a little or nothing.
But the thing about it is, back then, yeah, they'd look at that thing and say, oh, that's a poor looking thing.
Yeah.
Belly and all, it'd be good and fat. But the tail lamp would be just like Edison.
Just
sharp.
Sharp.
So I said that I got one. I got well, it was a steer. I mean a bull. I made a steer out of him when he got him down here. I worked up in Jacksonville one time, and a cousin of mine worked at a dairy. Now he got him by truckloads. And them buggers happen to go out there with a doggone rock or something, knock them in the head just like rabbits, get them up in the woods. And he said, Frankie, I tell you, that's getting bad. I said, man, I just can't hardly stand it. And the boss man says, we have to do it. Says, won't you get about 8 or 10 of them up? I says, I can't keep them. I said, man, how could I keep them and me up here? Came down there. I said, Dad, Mom's not able to take care of them. Dad's too old, monkey around stuff. And I asked my uncle, his daddy. He said, well, I guess you could bring them, but I'm afraid you'd run into trouble. So I figured right then when he said that, I might as well just shut up, you know, and just let him go. And he'd say, then when he come in, he said, well, I killed 6 or 7 more today. And that's just maybe the part he killed. Not counting the 8 or 10 more boys in the milk stall, like, you know, what they had to do.
Yeah.
So when I left him up at Monroe at the time, he'd bought him a, he'd come back down here. He was up there one time with me, him and Billy Yonson. They looked around and couldn't get no job. And they got a job for a little while and it run out and they come back home. So I stayed up there. I was up there that, working at Florida Glass Company, making them Pepsi-Cola bottles, fruit jars, and all that stuff. Well, that's where my aunt worked until she retired. Mama's sister, I guess that. Didn't you meet her one time ago? She's a big, heavy-set woman. Anyway.
I never even heard you mention her before.
So, well, that's the only sister Mama got. It wasn't but 3 of them. Miss Dixon's husband was my uncle, Mr. Eddie Dixon. That was my uncle, that's my uncle, them dad, brother. They had more, but they died out. They were older than him, you know. They died out as years went on, and then had one died when he was young. But talking about Jacksonville, well, I stayed with them, and I had so bad burned much racket there. I had 3 or 4 boys and a couple. 3 girls, well, 2 girls, but then they had some friends that had come in, and well, you have on a shift, you know, where you work, like I'd go to work in the evening at 3 o'clock, I'd get off 11 at night. All right, I couldn't sleep in the daytime, never could. I can now, but I couldn't then, because it'd make me sick. So I'd lay there and roll on that doggone bed, and them boys cutting their fool out there, maybe a bunch of their friends would come up, and they'd holler and hoop and raise cane, you know. A lot of people can sleep through stuff like that, but I can't do it.
I
just have to make the best of it. I have had to get up and join them. I couldn't sleep, so.
I couldn't live on this shit with
it. Yeah, well. Well, I could if I had to, because I used to didn't go to bed around 11:30.
I always thought, well, it has good judgment, but I'll swear that's way out on the deep end. Frankie, what does you're talking about the cattle? We were talking about Eric over at your house. Does he have any cattle?
Yeah, he got black onions. But they're not registered, I wasn't.
No.
They just kept coming through, see, he kept coming through. He used to have 2 milk cows he milked, you know, and he'd get calves and put on them, you know.
Oh, yeah.
He got them 3 or 4 good mother cows in, and he got them up a bunch. He kept cutting back, see, selling them all, till he got a good breed of black Angus. And he used to go down yonder with us on them shows, Mr. Cockles, me and old Johnny.
Oh, really?
And he'd run his mouth more. And knocking sales all the time, and them guys would say, well, who is that guy, and where does he come from? And we'd have to tell him, you know, and he is from up a highway, you know, up at Macanopy. So. And he got up there one day, and I tell you, when somebody gets to bragging, like Jake Lightner, he'll brag, you know, and tell somebody that don't know much about them, oh, they've got 1,000 head of cows and 10 head of bulls and all that stuff, you know? Well, I know different. Boy, and sometimes I want to get my head between my legs. People look at me, you know, just say, boy, they ought to be well to do. Well, I hate to just come right out and say he's telling you a lie. But I guess that's what I should have done to a lot of them, because they asked me about it. I said, I don't know. I don't know too much about them.
Now, that was on the shows that Cockrell had.
Yes, sir.
And you went along with them?
Yeah, you know, me and Johnny used to have to haul them things. And I didn't go as much as Johnny. Johnny used to go up and he'd catch some of them things up. He'd have to go up in Alabama up there with them bulls.
Yeah.
And show them. And we have had as high as 15, them buggers. Oh, they're aged to start breeding. We'd work them things as big as that calf you got out there holding. Start hauling them. Of course, Mr. Conkle had less weight. He let them get as high as dog and thing him before he wanted to monkey with them. Me and Johnny tried to tell him that he ought to train them as to come along, and then it won't be so hard. We've had to act some out with trees.
Yeah.
Yes, we've had to act them out trees, learning to hold it. They just get so dadgum rough, you couldn't hold a dog on holder.
Yeah.
I mean, them lines would burn your hands.
Yeah.
And you couldn't keep on gloves.
Yeah.
Shoot, I've seen old Johnny have a pair of gloves on it. It'd parch his hands almost through there.
Yeah.
So we had a tree. We had an anchor tree. Just, I guess it was about as big as that pot top there. Had to have them pretty good, because out there on that land out in March of there, that's just them old, them oaks don't grow very long. And they're just on top of the ground.
Yeah.
And them things were about as high as that cedar tree there, higher. And you know, I've seen them shake the top of that thing. It'd have a whole laird on them, you know, with the halter. Have a bow pull so we could get it loose, you know, when we walk up to him. Shoot, man, I seen him turn that, to put that dog on laird, tie that laird onto that thing. Said, let the gate open. We let the gate open, that bucket go down that fence. Never did break no holders, but Buddy at Nathabone laid them out. I've seen a lot of them hit the ground.
Well, what'd you take Everett along for? To meet the public or something?
Everett just went along a lot of times, you know. He just went along. He's supposed to be working, but he's run his mouth. Just go up the line, people. Talking to different ones, you know.
Yeah.
Charlie people, Black Angus people, the White Face people, and all them kind of people that had different breeds of cows.
Yeah.
And, he'd go up along and tell him. So one guy one day there, he was just rattling it off. And old Johnny, I guess he got tired of it, you know. He said, he's always cutting the food, too. And this man walked up to him.
Johnny always cutting the food?
Yes, this man walked up to him and says, who in the H is that guy, Johnny, that fellow's limping? And old Johnny said, well, he's a friend. Come down with us and up around Reddick, Flemington, Shiloh, making open. We all live around that same place. He said, about 20 miles out south, north of O'Kelly, if you know where that's. I said, yeah. I know where O'Kelly is, Gainesville. He said, well, he's up there. He's got a little bunch of cows, and he's going around there and you're telling people he's got a registered herd. Yeah. He stood up there and told that guy, and I just wanted to croak. And old Johnny come up and said, don't listen to a word he said, because he ain't nothing but a GD lie. Now, I guess old Johnny must have got mad about something.
Well,
and so this man said, well, I figured that. Said he'd been going all up and down the line here in the doggone pavilion, telling people that he's got a registered Angus farm up at Macon Open. He said, he's got a few cows. And a guy to come along and ask me, how was the cows? I said, well, they just like a lot of we others. They just cows been breaded backing up.
Crossbred.
Yes.
Yeah.
Now I had a registered bull when I started off, and I had real good cows, and I got a registered bull. That's the reason I got the registered bull, because Mr. Conkle told me, says, Frankie, you get a registered bull with them mixed cows,
yeah,
and they grow you good calves, and always pick out your best cows to save. And get rid of the others till you get up pretty good. Well, there for a while I was inbreeding. I knew it, but I wasn't able to buy another bull. So me and old Troy Bonds
was
gonna
cut down on your calves.
Yeah, so me and Troy Bonds are gonna trade.
Troy who?
Troy Bonds.
Oh yeah.
And I kept waiting on him. I told him, I said, he said, I said, we'll swap. Said, I don't know why I'd want it. He first wanted to sell, and then he figured, said, I don't know why I want to sell an offering. He said, I'll swap them. I'll use your bull seed, and you can use mine. And then when you get cash, oh, we change back or something.
That's
like
the way
that.
To do.
And kept waiting on a knocker, waiting on a knocker, and I told Will, I said, what happened to old Troy? He said, why? I said, he's supposed to let me know something about what he's going to do about Craig Bull. I said, well, I think he's just keeping him up there. He decided he'd keep him. So he got him up, you know, we can get him down at the house. I don't know where he got him down at the house feeding him or where he traded him or what. There ain't no telling he liable trading that nephew, that Delma Pond boy over there. But he had a nice little bull. His son-in-law bought the bull. That's how he got it. And see, it wasn't a kin of Troy's cow. And he had, I don't know, 4, 5, 6 cows. Built a nice barn up there. Got a well up there. Had it, got it all fenced and was going to build out there. And all of a sudden, he decided he wanted to sell. I don't know.
Everett, he kind of stretches the fact sometimes.
I tell you, Mr. Miles, he does worse than stretch it. He splits it and everything else. He can tell some of the dad burns a slide of pray in church like he does. Hey, gosh, look. I'd like you to hear him sometime when he prays and kind of stay with him during the week and be around people, you know, like, well, like you'd meet up with some of these guys buying land now, you know, getting started out here, right around us.
Yeah.
and hear him some of the lies he can tell. Good God. Man, you look at a man, you sit in church and listen to him. And I remember back then when you wouldn't ever hear him say a cuss word. Him and old Ernest had a run in that one time. At the same time, too, son, old Ernest was eating peanuts
was
coming
what
out one side.
What was that? Yes, that was. I didn't get that straight.
Yeah, old Ernest was standing up eating peanuts, smacking like a hawk, and all them peanuts going in one side and shells coming out there. And I said, "Great God, he's eating chewy and things. If he'd have bit his tongue, he'd have bit it off." And he said, "Yeah." I said, "All you can do is stand up and eat these peanuts." I said, "That burn." I said, "I ain't never heard old Everett talk like it." So from then on, I always heard him say cuss words. But before that, I could always vouch. Before every...
Well, now, what was the occasion that he was eating them peanuts?
Well, old Ernest was eating peanuts.
Yeah,
Everett wasn't. Old Everett was.
Yeah, yeah.
Everett was, yeah, old Everett, he was working on that chew tobacco and that cigar. And he was trying to light that thing, talk, and old Ernest was making fun of him what it was.
Yeah.
See? Ernest never did want to do anything. He wanted to be clean hands. He wanted his share and more, but he didn't want to do nothing for it. So old Everett just got tired of it. He just told me he's going to have to do something else. So that's the reason they broke loose from farming together. They used to farm together, man.
Well, look, I kept thinking about that time he come over to your house that night. And he'd been to Ocala and spent a lot of money.
Yeah, well, that's one day. He come in there one Saturday morning. And I thought he'd come pay me that $5.
Yes.
And he comes in there and, well, the way he's talking, he wasn't talking to me at all. He trying to ignore me like I wasn't even in the room.
He's talking to your mama. And
no, he's talking to Layman, Margaret's husband. He's sitting on the couch.
Over there at your house?
Yes. And he said, man, I just tell you, he said, man, I had one of the best steak dinners. That right after dinner time, see, he went down that morning on Saturday. And he carried his niece with him and bought a nice pair of shoes.
Oh, yes, it's his niece.
Yes, and bought Johnny Mixon a $2 steak dinner, and himself and his niece.
Yeah.
Boy, it was good, and he was picking his teeth and going on there, you know, and I just up and asked him. I said, oh, yeah. By the time he went to leave, I said, oh, yeah. But I said, what about that money you owe me? He says, I don't know, Yank. What about it? Like that, you know? Well, that run all over me. But it had just like somebody throwing fire in my face.
Yeah.
I clung up out of that dad burn chair and mama out in the walking room said, no, Frank, you better not. I'm sitting there and I just happened to think of his afflictions.
Yeah.
But if he hadn't been afflicted, I'd knocked him through that door. Hit me, Lord, I would. I wasn't going to put up that stuff.
Well, what was he doing? He just beating you?
Yeah, he was eyeing me. See, he got all that work done for nothing, see. Paying me $75 an hour about got a strain fertilized dumping fertilizer for him, and he would set up on a track and do as he wanted to. One time he'd stop here, and I had to tote it up. Next time, I just got mad at him with him one time. I said, the heck with it. I said, you get somebody else to dump that young fertilizer. So I walked off. Way down, he called me and said, hey, Yank, you come back here. I said, now, what's wrong with you? I said, Zebit, I said, you know that doggone 5-gallon bucket's heavy to reach, and you know them old thing is way up back.
Well,
I guess the bottom of the bucket would have hit me right in the mouth. And me straying him sitting up, just chewing on that tobacco, smoking that cigar, you know, just spitting it. And every time that he turned around, see, he couldn't stop at one place. He had to inch up a little bit more every time, make me pick up both the buckets and tote them up in that soft dirt. And I got tired of stuff. I strained him, and half the time he wouldn't pay. I'd just have to devil along with him.
Yeah.
And back then, when I was helping him, it was nip and tuck.
Yes,
I had cows, but you take when you had to buy groceries, buy car tags and insurance and stuff like that, and keeping up automobile and all that stuff, and mule to feed, and see, I had was doing a little farming myself, you know, making my own corn and mule, and at the time, and I even rode a crippled mule up there and plowed it, that burned beans, keep him from bringing that tractor, I mean, from doing it. See, I did the most of the work to all the whole blame crop.
Well, now, what was that, you had squash, or was it beans?
I had squash, beans, and something else we had planted. I can't think now what it was.
With
Everett.
Everett?
And he said, I kept telling him, no, Everett, I don't do it, because your daddy will get into it next time. Brother E.I. be in there, and Christian will be into it, and this and that, and I'll be into it, and I'll be out. Well, that out right there is why I should have got out right then. When I said out, I should have left right there.
Yeah.
Well, and then that dumb one said, I don't know if you might, old Kid Smith might do pretty good. You and him might do good. Well, I thought about it. I laid at night and worried about that thing, because I always said if man stuck me one time, he would never have a chance to do it again.
Yeah.
I'd crawl on my knees before I'd go back coming. I mean that thing.
Yeah.
So, Kept on. One church, one night, that church said, the Yank said, you thought any more about what we was talking about? I said, yeah, but I thought about it. But I ain't done too much thinking very hard about it. So one day I said, Daddy's still living.
Frankie, slip around this way and chat a little bit. I can't hear. That's all right. Say, don't move.
He said,
you thought
any more about what
we're talking about? Yeah, man,
I
thought a lot
about it, but I ain't doing much about it.
Just sit back
where
you are.
That's
all right.
I can hear you. All right. He said, I think we'd do pretty good, so. His daddy was still living. And he brought it up there at his house one day.
Yeah. Now, his daddy is a good farmer.
His daddy's a good man.
And you
his
like
daddy
to work
Smith
for him.
Was, yeah, if I'd have worked for anybody, say, I never did work for him. Willie worked for him.
Yeah.
Willie playing squash with him. But Everett kind of had that Whittington in him, like his mother. See, his mother was Whittington.
Yeah.
Ernest Whittington's sister. And they looked for that greenback. Well, Mr. Eddie Smith was, I can say he's a good man as far as I know, because I never, them niggas all said, as long as Mr. Eddie lived, he got paid good. After Mr. Eddie died, and boys taking over, then they started clipping him. You know how they used to do these old niggas, you know, they'd take a little, and the next thing, and take the land or something, you know. So, he talked on that a few minutes, and Mr. Eddie Smith said, well, Frank said, I don't know. Says you and Ev, all the time, you and the boys all the time going fishing and going to Williston. And all said, I don't know. Y'all might make a pretty good deal. Says it might be a good year. You can't help this. Well, I believed in the man. If I hadn't, I'd never taken what he said.
Yeah.
So Willie said, I asked Willie, he said, well, you don't have to watch Everett. Now, if you keep everybody else out and just work mainly, you and Everett, you might get along all right. But says, if EI gets in there, or anybody else, said, by God, you better watch it. And that's just what happened. He let EI take the money part of it, and he did the boss part of it, and I did the work. And that's what I got. And I told him, I said, now, the main thing, I said, now, if I don't make much money out of this crop, and I worked hard in it, I rode that old crippled mule back and forth from the house up here to work. And had a, you know, I had a mule be string hauled in the back leg, little, you know. And I rode her back and forth a lot of times, feel sorry for, you know, and just walk. Just lead her, you know. So I did that, you know. And he says, oh, yeah, says, we don't make much. Says, I'm going to see if you get that Ford truck. Back that Ford truck was a 41 model. And it was a good old Ford truck. Had a good cattle body, and it was a ton and a half. So, oh, yeah, says, I'll see if you get that truck. So wound up, we didn't get anything, and I went to him about the truck. He said, no. I said, a man's going to buy that truck, right? I said, now, why are you doing that? I said, you promised me that truck. If I didn't make nothing, you're going to see it. I got the truck. I said, truck, you said truck's yours? He said, yeah, but he said, this man's going to buy it, cash. So I never did get one penny out of the thing. And then on, as far as I felt about Everett, he could go to, you know, where and stay there.
Well, now, what was the time you had Squash? Was that after that?
No, we had it all together.
Well, don't you know, you kept after him to get your money, and EI?
Well, that was, see, that went on, see, I'd been after Everett, maybe a month or so for settlement.
At the same time?
Yes, you have to wait, see, on settlement,
yeah.
On account of that stuff coming from them places up north, see. A lot of them maybe be 4 months behind.
Is that my, yeah, I didn't realize that.
So, I kept on, I don't know, it must have been about 6 months, at least. And, he kept telling me, said, returns are still coming in, see. It's what EI told him.
Yeah.
Well, they wasn't nothing like that. They just holding off, keeping business.
Yeah.
And I know, I heard a certain guy right there in the office tell me that my share of the beans was $800. And back then, that was good money, you know. And they were bringing good money, because I know two or three planting right around the sack was getting $4 and $5 a crate from them.
Yeah.
And we had just as pretty a bean as they did, or better, because Christian them said so. So all they did, Ernest just bought, take my part, see. And he give over his part, and he bought him a brand new car.
Oh,
see, that's the way it worked.
Yeah.
See, he told me, and he told me up until 2 days before we supposed to have a settlement. Never did have it. We had a settlement, all right. I was out, and they were in. But anyway, he told me, said, he held out. There wasn't nobody. Says, I got a secret place I'm having them bills. I don't forgot what he said. Mr. Christian was taking care of them, or who it was. But I told him, I says, Everett, I says, I think you are lying to me. He said, no. It was about 2 days before I went down there. That's when I found out Ernest was holding all the paper.
Yeah.
And I said, now see, you lied all the way through. You said, Ernest, your daddy, and nobody. I'd have rather had your daddy to help the thing. Now, if Mr. Smith had held it, it'd have been all right, because he'd have done what was right. But the man was, at the time, he was, you know, pretty feeble. He's getting feeble and feeble all the time. And I hate the bond, but I started telling Willie, he said, well, you know, Mr. Smith has to go to the doctor a lot, and said he's not too able to be doing anything, Frank. So I said, yeah, but he said, as long as you and old Everett, he says, I believe you and Everett deal together, just you and Everett, you'll be all right. He says, if anybody else. Which, back in Willie's head, I know he knew that old Ernest was going to have a finger in it, because he always did have a finger in something. So,
Well, now, Willie wouldn't just push you into the trap, would he?
Well, he told me, said, I don't think it'd be anything wrong. You can't lose nothing. But I did. I lost a lot
now,
of work.
Man,
I could have been.
Why did you caught Ernest digging
worms? Down at McIntosh there behind Miss Burry's boarding house. She said, I walked up at the door. I said, Miss Burry, you know anything about where I can find Ernest? He's in his office. He had his office in one of the rooms, see.
Oh, did he?
Yes, so, see, it's kind of sneaking about the thing. They didn't want me to go down to Christian and see his office because, see, they knew that I'd find out, you know, about it. And see, old Ernst worked there, too. See, he was bookkeeping all that stuff down at shed. And he was working this on the side at night, see, in his room.
Oh.
See, that's after him and Carabelle, his first wife, separated. He got staying down in the hotel.
Oh.
So, yeah, that bugger was about gay. And he had a hoe in his hand. If he hadn't had that hoe in his hand, I might have pulled him more. I'm a hit old Everett, man. You know, he's about to fight me. And that's something you couldn't ever figure, old Everett wanting to fight anybody.
Yeah.
But you know, I made him so mad. Willie said, yeah, you better watch him. He's left liable to get mad, you know, and pick up something and hit you in the head with it.
Yeah.
So, well, that's the way I felt about old Ernest. And if he hadn't had that cotton picking hoe in there, I was going to get hot with him. I was going to work him over the coast. But he was kneeling down on his knee digging them baits. Oh, he got mad about that thing, too, boy.
Well, now, how old was you then? You was old enough to... You was a grown man.
Man, I'm done turned 40. I'm 48. I'm going on 49 now. And that was back in... And I guess must have been in the 50s sometime. It was after the war.
Yeah.
And I figured that one time, see, running with him, you know, and Everett knew it. I was, you know, was kind of down, you know, didn't have,
after
you know, penny, you know, and wasn't able to hold no real good job. Of course, I'd been up at the university before, but jobs I wouldn't like. My uncle, he said, well, you got to keep looking for a job. And I told him, I said, Uncle Bill, when you don't have the backing to keep running around looking for a job, you can't go all over Gainesville, and I can't walk all over Gainesville trying to find a job.
Oh, you know, that's one of the hardest things I ever done, was look for a job.
See, and I paid up my union dues, and that's he's supposed to assure me of a job. I mean, he's supposed to look for me a job. And he taken my last dollar and $6, and they laid me off of it. And Monroe asked him, said, he knew him good. He'd been there for, see, Monroe been there working there for quite a while. He's been working there. Well, I think this makes his 22nd year he's been there with him. And he'd worked with him one time before and quit and went to a road job or Walls, or SM Walls or whatever his initials is. And worked with him, and then he went back there.
Yeah.
And he's been there ever since. But, you see, I didn't have the backing to get up there, and I didn't have the education. Well, which Monroe didn't have the education either, but he just looked up on to get on at a job in state.
Yeah.
See, now all them big, long dormitories out there, them old ones are built off in the stadium. I hope with them. I even walked the top of them things with them painters and helped them shields farm and also toted that dadgum old and a whole big 5 gallon tank around me and another boy. I even helped them shields out on them ledges for them to paint them wonders, side them wonders. And went up there the first day on Monotone and said, you better get a rag, a cap or something. You can find something, stick on your head. You didn't wear your cap. I went up there and, man, I hadn't shaved close. And them skeezers every now and then that wind, they'd let that stuff blow back on me. Shoot, them guys from one end down the time, they started laughing at the shop, you know. I said, now what in the devil are they laughing at? No Monroe, he even had to start laughing. He said, here comes a man with a green hair. So they all started, them boys, they got me good. I just felt like I'd rather be back home. And so, boy, you learn to put on a cap and keep shave. Because them buggers hell with them spray guns. Said, anybody spraying paint. They ain't gonna get it only where they want it. Yeah, I seen one guy, one of them guys fell through that, I fell on top of one of them walkways that they had covered from building to building.
Right.
Had a heart attack and fell through that thing before they had the top on it.
Yeah.
And one guy fell off of the top of one of the top ledges of one of them big old buildings, and it just happened that they still had a great big pile of sand there. He'd have killed us if he hadn't.
How did Everett get to on over there at the
Pine Acres? He got on over that through GP, but that's just because GP and him always piddle around together. But the old man, he didn't, after he run his mouth, he heard him run his mouth, and GP trying to make a bull sail there. He told GP, says, Mr. Lighton said, I think you better get rid of that man. Said, we don't need nothing around you like that.
So he had some of his big customers
there? Had some of them. I believe GP said, told me in Monroe, it's, I don't know whether it's North Americans or people you know, South America, not North America, South American, Pan American, and all them.
Latin American.
Yes, and, well, they probably like Mr. Ivan when he used to have them registered bulls. They'd come over here from Brazil and all that place to get bulls, you know, and places like that. But anyway, he was talking a special sale there, and old Everett, he just walks up, and Everett's bull would be working. So he just walked right up amongst them, you know, right in front of the man and told him. And he got on the Angus breed, see. He said, no, says Everett, that ain't in no Hereford. You don't find that no Hereford breed. He said, yeah, it is. He says, I know they ain't. And this man told GP, said, no, I ain't never heard nothing like that either. Said, Everett, said, you don't know what you're talking about. That's what old GP said. Says, you have got Angus on your mind. Says, just because you got Angus calves, I know sign that they all run together. Says, breed, they're a different breed. So, Mr. Watchemdoodle, GP said he never did bother him, you know, when he was making too many sales, because he said GP always had been good, you know, about doing it. He just wouldn't pay much attention to him, you know, and maybe wouldn't bother him, you know. But he said GP said he just happened to stand. He said that. He told me about that here about 3 weeks ago.
Yeah.
Said he just happened to walk outside and he heard Everett talking, see, and he said them men was, GP had him around and showing him some cows, you know, and talking to him by the sense.
Yeah.
He said he wouldn't even go around there. Said there's that Everett Smith, right down the middle of him, just a jab, jab, jab. He just didn't go up and run Everett off or nothing. He just waited till the man left. He called GP off to himself and told him, says,
well, he just can't resist it when the people, any talking is going to be done.
And he'll cut you off. If he can't cut you off, he'll drown you out.
Well, now look, GP's a big talker.
Yeah.
But he won't cut you off, will he?
I don't think, he ain't never
walked
up.
I mean, he always listened to you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But Everett will keep going. He get something that cigar. Well, I don't think he smokes now, but he did. I think he finally had to quit, and which I always felt sorry for Everett. He's sort of like me, but I didn't run all over the country and eat off people.
Mm-hmm.
I tried to stay home, but.
Well, what does he do? Just go all over the country?
He goes from. He used to go from my house. He'd stay at my house maybe one night out of the week. He'd go up to Johnny's if he felt like it. That's up at out in Marcia, where he used to stay on that ranch, Mr. Copper. But a lot of times he'd hit up there for dinner time. He'd eat with us at dinner up there. He'd get me at night for dinner. I mean supper after he got his work done at his house. So he'd come on down and eat with me.
Oh, he'd work it both ways.
Yes, and he always said, of course, he always bragged on his meals, and he had taken a notion there, man, he'd come in from fishing. Shoot, he'd tell mom and said, Miss Chitty, what about fixing me a cup of coffee? Yeah, just like his own. And different ones been around and see, and they've heard him.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of them women said, if I was Miss Chitty, said, I'd get me a stick and I'd run him home.
Now, but, he got a lot of people that he calls on.
Oh, yeah, all over the country.
He goes with GPs?
Yeah, he started that eating at GPs and drinking.
We're just having a good time.
Well, go ahead and have a good time. We're going out here to pass a minute, Faye.
Yeah, okay.
Frankie, this, I don't know Mr. Albert.
Yeah?
Yeah. Now, I always thought he was calm and collected. But now that time you tell me about, what was it? Some nigga woman come in there?
Yeah, it's back there when he's still farming.
Yeah.
Running that store. He had squash planted.
Yeah.
And them see him and Mr. Elbert, they built all them buildings along the road out there. Four tenants. They went up to Georgia and hauled these niggas down here.
There wasn't enough down here already, huh?
No, they couldn't get enough, so they heard it that they had plenty of them up there wanting to work. You know, live in houses and work right on the farm where they live. So shoot, they get busy. They build up them houses. See, they go up and get some of them. Shoot, some of them got so dang sassy though and mean to them. They didn't stay long. They just moved out. They make them mad. They tell them to get on somewhere else. Hmm. So you take these, at least about six. Well, I guess about all of them. It's living. Well, some of the young ones is. Their parents, when they first come down here, they done dead. And some of them died after they got down here. They were pretty old. But a lot of the kids and grandkids are still living right around Flemington there. They've hibernated right there and bought little plots of land, you know, big enough to build a house on.
Oh, really?
And they build houses. If they ain't built houses, they got trailers.
Now, this time you tell me about those women, or they women, lived in his houses.
Yeah, I suppose they been picking squash that morning. They went off fishing. I know, like me and Willie said, it's bad to have a business going. And see, he had cows. He had that cow doing, that registered cow doing the going, farming a little land around that store. Man, he had his hands full.
He sure couldn't do it all himself, could he?
No. His wife stayed in that store on that old cement about running a feet. He finally gave it up, 61. So, and then he had a bad spell and had one of his kidneys. I think one of his kidneys is out.
Yeah.
So that slowed him down enough.
What set him off this morning, that morning? Yeah. Don't you know when he cuts off?
Well, what it was, see, this other nigga woman that wasn't charging nothing there, see.
Yeah.
And this other one was.
Yeah.
And she knew that she went in there, see, she was, this nigga woman's husband was Mr. Ivor's main cleanup man around, you know. He done all the hoeing fences right around the lots and kept the store around the store clean and all that, you know. And he lived right up the hill from Mr. Ivor. So, said, no, said, he won't let me have it. So, said, you go in there and get it. I think it's a box of snuff she wanted. So, she decided to come on in. We stood down watching. We could hear him talking. Mr. Howard, he's standing up there, leaning over with his elbows on the counter like that, you know, talking to me and Willie. And Louise, his wife, standing back over. We was all talking. Just happened, me and Willie. He come in there behind me, I come in there behind him. I done forgot which. And, but anyway, he seen him, kept standing out there. Said, yeah. He folded his, been around like this year, and he folded his one arm on his hip and the other one on the counter. He said, yep. Says, now they've been off this morning fishing, and I had squash to pick. Said, now they stand out there and said, that other one wants, I can't think, I don't know what it was, many or who it was, wanted the other one to come in here because they owe something in here. And said, they gone off fishing. They know they done wrong. Sure enough, she kept on talking to him. No, said Miss Bell, I won't have any hat stuff. So you go in here. So she walked up to the counter and said, what do you want? And she told him, well, I don't think that nugget come in there. I don't think she used enough or anything. She said, well, you don't use it. She says, who is it for? And he told him, but her out there. He said, she ain't going to get it either. And boy, he come around there. He take his old walking cane, boom, knock that folding door, you know, one of them things set on springs, keep a dog in, and they go back and forth, them wood doors. He hit that thing swung for I don't know how long after he left. Kind of Lee says, my goodness, a lot of hate that get upset. Said, he just don't know what he says, don't know what he does. He walked up that screen door, and I told her, Willie, I said, I thought sure that thing was going through that screen. But he hit that centerpiece, go whoom. That old door went all the way back, hit the wall, and come back, oh, wham. And that woman seen me start off, wait a minute. And boy, he got in there, man, and he was just a spitting and a cussing going on. He was calling them SBs, and you couldn't understand. You couldn't say what he said. Hold it or what? He's so tight tongue when he gets out of way.
Yeah.
He cussing, you never know what he cussed you for.
Yeah.
And he was just a beating. It's one he had, Willis says one he hadn't broke his walking stick, you know. And he
really beating?
He had a beating on that ground, that thing. If it hadn't been a lineman payment, that thing, he'd be the hole now, I bet that deep in that hard dirt. And he just stood there and he'd go and say, you all good and wet. Y'all supposed to pick them squash this morning. See, y'all go off fishing. So, boy, I ain't raised cattle. The old nigga woman started talking about, don't you go back me. Like that, you know. He started moving more dust. So you ain't gonna charge that thing now, yet you start doing about some squash out that still got to be picked. So, no Willie told me when he got outside, says I'd hate for that booger to start cussing me. I wouldn't know what he's cussing
Frank,
me for.
I didn't know the niggers were mean that far back.
Oh man, them niggers come from Georgia. Now they said they didn't have no mean niggers in Georgia. They lied. I know Lehman said when he was up there and Uncle Jim Davidson used to have signs to go through there saying, nigga, if you can't read, you better start running. So, and Uncle Jim said he had seen signs in there. Said, nigga, don't let sundown catch you in town. Said, them niggas, he did it. But later on in the years, different parts of Georgia, see, the niggas grew. It was, they outnumber us now in places. Oh, double. And, but somehow they just got this bunch, see. I guess the Georgia people wouldn't put up with them, and that's the reason they applied for the jobs down here, see. So Mr. Zell, I just goes up out of the big old ton and a half truck, and then he hired Everett and different ones, had big trucks to go up and haul them down here. Yeah, they went. I don't got what part of Georgia most of them come from. Most of them come out of one little surrounding place up there. And I just imagine it was a mill town, and they just got tired of them, and they just run them off. Because I know they used to say it, they wouldn't allow a nigga. I know they said in Thomasville, shoot a nigga at night. You hardly ever seen one in Thomasville on the streets. Them boogers, get off.
Your daddy was a good farmer?
Not bragging, Mr. Miles, but he's one of the best. And he raised all of us out there on that little old 85 acres. And he didn't do no public work at all. Any work he done, he traded. The farm trade, you know, something like that. Like he taken me and, well, I don't think he carried Monroe, because Monroe a little bit too young to hoe, I wouldn't do it one, and he just left him home or something. We went up out of this place right off his turn this way to go to Willie's. You know, his old house that stayed in the bottom there, where that man's got them cows in it. Man used to live there, and he got sick, had a spell, like to die. And they're pretty good friends of ours, you know. And he mentioned it to Daddy. Daddy said, yeah, I'll come down and help you clean them out. They had peanuts and they were rugging in that back field. And I hoed peanuts that I felt like I looked like one. Daddy worked right on. I don't know where the name was called Rickenbacker. I don't know whether they ever change work or daddy just give it to him because, you know, he'd been sick or what.
Yeah.
He had, I don't know where he had any sons or not. Seemed like he did have. Seemed like he had a couple, but I know he had two or three nice looking daughters. And, we used to, you know, monkey around with them. They'd come see us and we go up there and see them.
What was that crop?
Peanuts.
No, that long thing. Like sweet potatoes.
Oh,
long.
Cassava.
What?
Cassava.
Cassava?
Cassava.
Cassava?
Yeah.
Now, you eat them yourself or you feed them?
You feed them to your cows or your hogs. It's mostly hog food, but you make a cassava pudding. It's kind of spongy.
Yeah, yeah.
Mama's made him many one. Said, Mama, what you got? Dessert. And she always had one of them old long, flat yellow pans. she didn't make a banana pudding or something like that in the custard. Well, we didn't think we was son that she'd make two cakes, chocolate and white. About every son come around, we had plenty of sweets and stuff like that. All that come right off the farm. Had plenty
of eat. You could sweet take it potatoes. To the amount of work you're doing. You could eat sweets or anything else.
Sweet. Sweet potatoes. Dad's made them old sweet potatoes big as sauce. He's made onions big in some of these saucers. Oh, Willie said the day before yesterday, you know, I said, I'd like to get some onions. I don't care who he said made them. And, well, he don't know, but he bought them down there from H.A. I made some here 3 years ago, about that big round. And them things is just as sweet and watery.
Yeah.
And I said, well, I'll never make no more like that.
Yeah.
But a tomato, I've never been too hot on tomato, but I'm not bragging, I've been pretty good on all the rest of them. But a tomato, I don't know, I make them, but they don't make big like other people. You put plenty of fertilizer to them, work them the same thing, water them, everything.
Well, you better farmer than your cattle man?
Well, I don't know about that.
You'd rather farm than raise cattle?
Well, no, sir, because you get a lot more time off with your cows than you do with the farming. Because, see, every time when you make a crop, you've got to get it. All right, it takes time to make the crop. And then it takes time to for the season, you know, like your corn, to dry and mature. All right, then you've got to have that worked over. Well, you've got different types of stuff. If you plant peanuts, see, your peanuts come along at different times. You got to do that. If you plant vegetables like beans and squash, you got to work them all along while you're working the other stuff, and everything comes along, and one thing drops back, you don't plant peas. You got to turn that under then and plant peas, and then when your peas come along and own stuff like that, you break your corn, and Daddy used to pull his own fodder and all that stuff for horses and cows. He used to feed cows just shucks and little nubbins of corn back then. He had good cows. They just straight run a cow. Oh, I bet.
You know, Frank,
been under a cow all my life.
There's a vast difference in a cow, the ones that'll make their own living, and the others you just gotta wait on them.
Well, the thing about it is they're breeding cows up so high, till they won't live through the one on their own feed.
I don't know whether it's the ones that's bred up or not. I don't know what it is.
Well, you take now if you can remember, if you can see a lot of these old spotted cows around here, it's real old. You see them running in a pasture, they ain't getting much feed. They might be getting a little hay. Well, I didn't feed my cows no bulk feed. I used to feed them hay. And I had carpet grass about that deep in that hammock there every year. And I don't know, something, chink bug, something just killed it out. And but I used to then feed pellets and stuff like I've been for years since I've been, you know, got that registered bull and all that stuff. My cows eat hay and went right on.
And pellets. That's more than buying a bag of candy.
Yeah, you know,
a bag of them pellets.
I'm buying, I hadn't been lucky like the other people. I'll tell you how this works now, which I know he's a big man. He got money, and his money talks. But I called Seminole down there for the first cold spatsy to get me some pellets early. And son guns told me, said, well, said, we don't have any. Said, we have some of them Mexican pellets and some of them old, it's got so much molasses in them, dark type. That's what I'm feeding now. Even son guns, big as Seminole is, even got out of Mexican pellets. Didn't even have none of them in. I swear that's for what biggest stock place is. And, anyway. That's what I've been feeding them things. Them things cost $4 and something a sack. I mean, 100 pounds. It cost $2 and, I believe, on one of them bills, about $2.29, I believe, or $2.49 for 50 pounds. But I've been in. The cows got where they'll stay on that side. I blow and set them and wait on them. I said, by God, I think when I get on these here, I'm going to quit. Just let them nib it for themselves. They don't come no better. But now this, you mix and tell it's better because it's got a piece of peanut in it. It's got, it tells you all stuff it's got mixed in. It's kind of yellow on the top of the regular cottonseed pellet. But it's going to tell you about the accident. All of a sudden, Mr. Ox said, something he wanted me to do in the feed house. So I noticed he got him a ton of pellets. I said, Mr. Out, I said, where'd you get your pellets from this time? He said, Seminole. I said, what? He said, I just got them here the other week. I said, well, I beat that gun. I said, now I call him. And I called him before you did. I must have called 2 weeks or a week at least before he did. Didn't have none. Didn't have none in sight, Mr. Chitty. Turn around and go down there next week and work. Now he got a ton of fresh pellets. Tom Seminole. Of course, the man, like I say, he's got plenty of money. He lets his money speak.
Yes.
And he could have called him 6 months and if you get a ton of pellets, I can get a ton of pellets. I'll give you a dollar extra sack on them and all that stuff. And a later year, see, he's bought a lot of feed from some Seminole. And he would buy, he bought back and forth. See, he worked from Gainesville and Oakville. He bought both places. He'd give them both something.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
So, and they built him up. They built the feed. He's helped build the feed companies up where they are. Cause
now, your daddy had this team, this syrup. You all made syrup regular.
Made it every year. Butchered hogs. And you get out of that thing. You know, it's just like not eating breakfast.
Yeah.
We was raised up to eat breakfast. They said, well, that's one of the main meals right there, your breakfast.
You couldn't have got out through the day without it, could you?
No, so he'd get out there and he'd work. He'd do a half a day's work, my half a day's work. Time he got up and time Mama cooked breakfast.
Yeah.
I mean, honestly, hard down work.
Yeah.
He'd come in the morning with his shirt already wet, where he'd work before we boys go to school. And if Mama didn't have meals, he's kind of cranky like that. If Mama didn't have meals right then, he'd maybe come in and wash his hands and his face and take off his hat and roll his sleeves part of the way up. He always wore his sleeves down. And Mama didn't have it all on there. He just pick up his hat, roll his sleeves back down, and said, well, now, when you get it ready, you call me. So he'd go back out, maybe go halfway across that place, someplace working. Mama said, come on, Frank, to breakfast. Daddy'd tow right on. A lot of times we'd have to hoot and holler there before we got to school. Dad, Mama's calling you to breakfast. Be here in a few minutes. He'd tow right on. Dad's a good man, but when he meant business, he meant business. I mean, well, we boys, now Willie can tell you. He can laugh and tell you all them things that me and Monroe got had it easy. Well, I can bounce Monroe and Martin. They got more whippings than me and Willie. No, Willie, as I know, he didn't get too many. Margaret didn't get too many either.
What happened that time when he got that syrup banked up on him and he couldn't move it?
Well, you see, Daddy died. He died back in 47. And he always prayed to see all the boys home from service, you know, and they all got back. And Mr. Albert's, Mr. Albert's brother, all of a sudden there, he just planned a big old patch of cane, and he was going in the cane business. So he told Martin, he said, now I'll give y'all half and furnish my little B. Shamley tractor to pull the mill. You won't have to pull it with your horse.
Now, who was that?
That's Mr. Elbert's there, the one that's got the brick mansion in it, at the Forks of the Roots.
Yeah.
And so they did. Made 600 gallons. Well, Dad had already made. He'd ground some for somebody before that year before he died, I think, the year before he died. And they made about 300 gallons. And see, he'd get half of that. And they done half of the work, so he'd get half of grinding and cooking it for him. And he could now have bone cooked syrup now. Him and old Martin comes next to him and cooking syrup. Old Larry Whitting out there, he wanted to plant some after Daddy died, you know, and keep up with it. And he planted some, but Well, you have to keep that mill up, and you have to keep that furnace up, and it's a double furnace, 280-gallon boilers there.
Oh.
And they load it down with doggone water and old jars, just rotting. And I've had five people who want to buy them things. I could use them for waters, but I didn't want to dismount mine. But if I'd have cared much about it, I would have fixed up the old shed. The old shed's about to rot down. The old mill standing there, shoot, it's on. It just got the mill fixed back up good. And got the big old live oak post on it. And it wouldn't shake at all. Tractor could pull it around and around. It wouldn't shake. So, of course, I guess Daddy lived on. Which he'd have lived a lot longer than he would have if he'd listened to the doctor. Now, they say work won't kill you, but I think Daddy killed himself.
Oh,
work.
Yeah.
He'd just go back out and see he had heart trouble.
Yeah.
And so they claim that's what it is.
And he wouldn't let up?
He'd let up a while, and he wasn't able to go, and he'd get feeling bad, and said, well, I had mom and him saying, now, Frank, ain't no use to go back out there in that sun. You know what, doctor? Mama, I feel perfectly good. I feel just like a young man. He'd go out there and work maybe half a day. That night, come in, probably have a spell.
Yeah.
I'd set up with him, rest night. And it kept on and kept on, and he'd done a little work there. Not much, but a little work around, kicking around there, before he had his last spell. He died down in McIntosh, with that old stranger's
hospital.
That old bugger like let me die one time. I never think.
You had that, Frank, you had that, you had all that syrup that time, that 600-gallon syrup, and it's hard to move it.
Hard to move it. We sold that stuff to, they finally got, Daddy was still living. He was still living because he's the one that got Webb. Dixie Lily over there to buy it. I done forgot. I believe about 20 a quarter, maybe 30 cent a gallon he got out of that stuff.
Oh, I tell you, I just love to taste some of that now.
Yeah, man, I no nigger up yet worked for Martin. Martin's handyman. Done all the cleaning up, and well, he done more too, but he makes syrup. Martin used to get 2-3 gallons every year. He'd bring us a gallon, you know. Well, I don't know. Willie says he didn't. But he brought us out a gallon. I bought a gallon. Got more getting a gallon. And that's as much like Daddy's syrup as any I've tasted since the last Daddy made or Martin made. And I'll still say I'll bet Martin made that syrup. Willie says he didn't. I said, now how do you know, Willie, you don't stay around with him. You ain't working with him anymore. I said, now he could have made that syrup. It don't take that long to shoot. Old George could have got the thing going. Martin cook it all, see. You don't have to grind it and nothing. Just cook it all. That's the main thing, right? That's cooking it all.
Yeah.
You got to know what you're doing. Now you can burn that stuff.
Yeah.
So old Martin picked that up real good. And he was he's good butchering hogs. But old Willie just as far from it. And of course, now I can't say too much. Now I like to monkey with a cane.
Mm-hmm.
As long as I didn't get it on my hair and mustache and all. And
yeah, well now, you know, the thing I remember, people would come around and they'd want some syrup.
Oh yeah, we've had people come in, you know, and they'd ask Dad and say, y'all gonna be grinding after the kids come in from school and all that stuff? I said, well now, I don't know, and Daddy has. He started early. A lot of people get juice, you know, drink juice and come see how it run, and he's also done it late when he was a lot younger though.
Yeah.
But when the later years, when he got older,